Okay, hello everybody. This is Barry Goss, co-founder of ManifestLife.com. Today I have the privilege of having a conversation with one very special teacher of higher learning. Now, he's special to a lot of people as he has touched lives through his weekly live group meetings, through radio talks, and through over 30 books and audio albums that have sold over 1 million copies in 15 languages worldwide. His best-selling book is The Secret of Letting Go. However, he has, to me, books that pretty much equally stand side by side with that bestseller, and I actually have one of them in front of me, which is titled Designing Your Own Destiny, The Power to Shape Your Future. He has many articles and booklets that can and will absolutely cause a positive shift in the way you think, how you perceive yourself and others, and what you start to attract in your life. And I have a few of those articles we're going to talk about in this call. The folks at Nightingale Conant said he's an expert at the forefront of human potential. And to me, he's one of the unique core-level mentors and miracles coaches that I talk about through the report on the homepage of my site. From a personal perspective, this person was quite literally, I would have to say, aside from Og Mandino, one of the first personal development authors I ever came across at 22 years of age, while I was sitting in the bachelor enlisted quarters in Winter Harbor, Maine, and that was during a snowstorm one evening, and I picked up a complimentary audio through a financial course I bought, and I popped it in, and I was hooked. So I would tell you, like, what happened to me over 15 years ago. I know you're going to be mentally moved by the insight this person has to share. So without salting this intro anymore for you, I better go ahead and just say hi to the director of the Life of Learning Foundation, Guy Finley. Welcome, Guy.
Hi, Barry. Nice to be talking to you.
Yeah, I have been waiting over 15 years to discuss some of life's most curious questions with you. So I'm glad I manifested it, even though it took that long.
I'm not saying that I'm worthwhile, but all things worthwhile are worth waiting for.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, in that audio that I listened to a long, long time ago, there was a lot of concepts and principles that, you know, I had never heard, of course, at 22, but I'm still sure that they hold true today. And one of them was you had something under the heading of living life without compromise, and you basically say there's no such thing as future pleasure and that enduring a present pain for a future pleasure is an act of self-compromise.
Indeed. And probably one of the truer principles, and I think we'll see as we talk about these things. First, there's an old saying. Actually, I never knew this before. Do you know where the saying, nothing new under the sun, comes from?
No, but I've heard it many times.
It's very popular because it's very true. It actually comes from Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament.
Oh.
Which dates it several thousand, you know, a long time ago.
Yeah.
People knew a long time ago there was nothing new under the sun, and it hasn't changed. And I'm speaking in reference to that principle that we just brought on the table, how that our pleasure is now or never, and that we compromise ourselves when we look for it outside of the present moment. And I guess, simply put, it means that we have living in us, and that we live from, Barry, a nature that is always looking for the other side of the hill. What do they say? The greener pasture.
Mm-hmm.
And the part of us that believes that contentment and a sense of well-being belongs to a time to come hides from us, in its very imagery, the fact that within us, as we are now, whoever is reading this or listening to it, as we are right now, we have in us all that we need to have in order to be completely competent, confident, and feel ourselves complete.
Okay. And that basically, I guess that goes it joins to the old saying of what we really want is not one more pleasure but one less pain, which is also what you said in that audio.
Yeah, and I think, and for some reason, it'd be very good to point this out right now, because when people hear an idea like that, everything we need in order to be competent, confident, and complete, we have right now. You know, they're sitting there, and they hear that, and they go, "What are you talking about, man? You know, I'm up to my neck in debt. Nobody likes me. I don't even like myself sometimes. I've put on weight. I can't keep a job. I'm frightened of the future." And so a person says, "You got to be kidding me."
Yeah.
Even though, and I want to add this, in our heart of hearts, something about that idea rings true, that when we are happy, it's not about a time to come. You see something in nature that takes your breath away. You're not sitting there thinking, "I hope this gets better."
Yeah.
You hold someone in your arms that you have a genuine love for. You see something that awakens your inspiration, your artistic feelings are moved by some great art or whatever. You're not thinking to yourself, "Tomorrow this will be better." In the moment, because of your relationship with what is true and good and right and strong and kind, we are in that moment complete. We're not looking for anything to make ourselves more from. Now, the reason that it seems difficult to understand that when we're not in moments like that, which is most of the time for us, is because we have misunderstood the purpose of this life. We literally have become human beings who believe that the purpose of this life is to acquire enough position, power, and possessions as to somehow secure a place in life that nothing can shake, that will never be touched no matter what happens, that will always feel good because of what we have attributed to ourselves. That mentality makes life more or less a proving ground, where we have to prove ourselves over and over and over again, not only to ourselves, but to everyone else, because unless, and this is part of our mistaken idea of what success is, unless everybody else agrees that we're successful, we don't think we are.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that we're not truly successful, because anybody who looks at us and says, "I'm sorry, I don't think you've made it," all of a sudden everything that we thought was true and successful about ourselves crumbles.
Mm-hmm.
This life is not a race to win. It is a school for our higher education. It is a ground of discovery, not a battleground for proving ourselves. And that's the mentality today, because of the way in which we've come to measure ourselves, to weigh ourselves by a very painful process of comparison.
So it almost sounds like you're saying we're here to learn, grow, and develop.
Yes.
Rather than try to constantly attract more future things maybe in our life.
And yeah. I mean, well, look, you know, if we think about it, when I say that everything we need to be competent, confident, and complete is right here with us, that means that right now while I'm talking to you, right now while you're talking to me, you and I, if we're awake enough to ourselves, aware of ourselves enough, everything that we need in order to learn the truth about ourselves, to be a participant in the moment, instead of trying to possess it in order to think something about ourselves as good or true, we've got it all. And that's real life. See, how do I say this? It's so evident, and yet nobody sees it. Tell me one thing, and I invite anyone involved in this conversation to ask themselves this question. Please tell me one thing that you possess.
It'd be nice if someone could say truly say happiness.
Yeah, not only we can't say it, But that would be a big step if someone even thought that. I'm talking about, well, you know, I got you know, six figures in a bank account. I have a kid. I got a wife. I got a home. And I would say that, yes, you have those things. But if we don't even possess our own lives, Barry, How can we say we possess the things in them? We are not meant to go through this world attempting to become people defined by our possessions, whether they are material things or psychological images. We are here to participate in a beautiful, intelligent, abundant world as it unfolds within us. And when we recognize the fullness and the richness of being a true participant in the unfolding moment, and how it alone is already complete and further perfects itself, then we see, I see where I went wrong. I'm always trying to define myself by the various things that I can think about or try to get my hands on. And I haven't yet recognized that most of the fears I have in my life are either about not being able to get what I imagine I want, or worse, having gotten what I want, and now I'm afraid I'm going to lose it.
That's a powerful insight there.
Something
hit me when you said that.
Well, think about it. Can anything that I set out to use as a vehicle to make me a freer man, if it makes me a slave, if I become dependent or attached upon it, did I really become freer, or did I make a mental mistake?
Made a mental mistake.
A big boo-boo
yeah.
In spiritual terms.
So I take it you've heard the idea from, well, I don't know if it's New Age spirituality, but it's probably something that folks in India have been, or in the East have been saying for years, is that, you know, the idea is that we're spiritual beings having a human experience. We're not human beings having a spiritual experience.
Yes.
And if that's the case, and I'm not sure what your thinking is on that, how does all that relate to the fact that it's okay to desire things? Or is it okay to desire things, joy, pleasure, fulfill whatever dream we have? Because to me, if we're dreaming about things, we don't have it, do we?
That's right. That's right. And for those interested, I think it was Teilhard Chardin a fellow named Teilhard is the guy that said that idea in the most succinct way, that we are not human beings having a spiritual experience, but we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And while that's probably true, meaning it is true as far as a person can understand it, it doesn't change the fact that we're in a body. And that I'm sitting in a house looking out a window just at the most simple level, and I've got about 6 bird feeders out there.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be able to buy bird food, you know. I have a wife. I have a foundation. We email 400,000 people a week. You have to be able to pay for these things. So we have to be good householders. We have to understand what it means to be responsible human beings who are capable of creating for themselves ways in which to generate what they need in order to live. Where we get into trouble, Barry, with desires, is when we're not interested in creating what we need in order to live, and by live I mean, back to what we said earlier, to discover our purpose for being here, to be a participant in this greater plan that is the source of our life, that is abundance itself, love itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that until we understand that true purpose, then so many of us wind up being defeated by our own dreams, because not only are they incapable of answering this essential desire that we have to know love, to be loved, and to be enriched through a relationship with it, but those very dreams, as we believe in them and manifest them, because we do. We actually go out in this life, and the way thought works, the way desire works, most of us are capable of creating what we imagine. The problem is that we imagine those things so that we can reach a sense of being complete. What we do when we create things that are intended to bring us this sense of completion, every one of us knows what it's like. And I'll ask you, Have you ever crossed some finish line, Barry, in a race? I thought if I just could just manifest this thing, God, then I would feel right and good and everything would be okay. And then you actually go out and you actually obtain it. You do it, and then you don't get the prize. Instead, you hear a starting gun go off, and you have to start another stinking race.
Yeah, I know that feeling exactly. I can't picture what exactly event happened, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, everybody, I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. Some people think, if I could just drive a Porsche, that'd be it. And then the aim comes to make enough money to buy a Porsche. And then I get a Porsche. And no more do I have a Porsche than my Porsche isn't the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe worse than that, I'm making ridiculous payments so that I can appear in my own mind to be something that once I achieve it leaves me feeling empty.
So that's that constant struggle. Between,
yes, and you know what? And we all know it, Barry.
Yeah.
It isn't like this is a secret, but there is something in us that wants to keep it a secret from us. Because we have this experience over and over again of, summiting the mountain. Now, should we summit the mountain of our dreams? Absolutely. You have something in your mind that you think is going to make you a better man, a wiser woman, a more successful person. Do it. But do it with your eyes open. Don't believe for a split second that somehow or other, just because you accomplish something, means that you have accomplished the purpose of this life. If we step back and look at ourselves and all of the things we've done, what we would see, if we're willing to see it, is that everything is part of a transition. We want to achieve positions, whatever they may be in our mind's eye, so that we feel secure and confident in ourselves. Everything we imagine as being a position that we can acquire or obtain is itself subject to the changing world in which we have imagined it. So no more do we get that position in mind. We go out to acquire it. Maybe we do, and then something in the world changes, and we're right back to square one again. And we think to ourselves that we're a failure or we've missed the mark somehow. Because now that which we defined ourselves by is gone and we're feeling like a loss or a failure or we don't know what to do with ourselves, it's because we didn't understand the truth of our life to begin with, which is we're not here to prove ourselves, we're here to discover ourselves.
And that could be a constant process in itself, can't it?
It is. That's what I'm saying to you. That's why I say everything that we need to be competent, confident, and complete is already within us. Because that is what we are. The truth of us is a gradual yet never-ending process of discovering wider and wider circles of a limitless nature. Our true self has no boundaries. Every time that we define ourselves by something in the world, we are confined by the very thing that we said would free us. Because who we are already is free. We just have to recognize the real relationship with life that we're created to have, wherein this is revealed to us moment to moment, instead of you and I, as we've done all of our lives, go out and try to create happiness, create peace, create confidence. We can't create these things any more than we can create the ears with which we're hearing this or the eyes with which we're reading it.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you I'll tell you what my friend told me last week, and I heard this for the first time, and mm-hmm. It relates to what you just said, and I'll wrap a question around it. He basically said that many of us wouldn't make changes in our lives if we didn't first become uncomfortable enough to make a change.
Exactly.
Like sitting in a chair, he said that we only move if we are uncomfortable to find a more comfortable chair.
Right.
And if we were comfortable, we wouldn't have felt the need if we were comfortable, we wouldn't feel the need to move. So I guess the question is, do you feel this basically means that we should all start embracing these negative emotions and mental ruts that we get into every now and then?
No, not embracing them. Believe it or not, that's what we do now.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I have them. I don't like them, and I don't.
Well,
like
listen. This will be very revealing and very helpful for all of us. First of all, I'll ask you a question. Can I learn from anything in life that I resist?
No.
Right. If I'm resisting something, I'm pushing it away, aren't I?
Right.
And if I'm pushing it away, I'm separating myself from it. Which means if I'm resisting something, I'm separating myself from it. If I'm separating myself, I cannot possibly learn the truth of it. So whatever I resist persists. Now,
okay.
I said that we actually embrace our negative states now without knowing it. Why? Because if I'm resisting a state, if I don't want the disturbance, where is my attention?
On the disturbance.
Exactly. I'm resisting and holding in my mind's eye the very thing that I say I don't want. Is that not an embrace?
Oh, okay. So the people who are constantly nagging about something that's in their life, and they know the old saying is, well, look, you're causing it because just look outside yourself. It's constantly around you.
We manifest everything we resist.
We manifest everything we resist.
Absolutely. This is one of the greatest secrets in the universe if a person could see the truth of it. Let's say that I am afraid of being hurt in a relationship.
Okay.
So
this is an example, by the way, because a lot of people are.
Of course. And here's why. So my mindset when I meet anybody is what? Is it openness, willingness to learn more about what is right and good and true? Or is my mindset, I'm going to keep you at a certain distance because I ultimately think you're going to hurt me?
The latter.
Exactly. I'm afraid of you. Now, if I'm afraid of you, am I ever going to have a real relationship with you?
Nope.
It's impossible. Even if we get into bed, eventually, because of my fear, I'm going to start nagging, asking questions, being suspicious, whatever it is, and I will destroy the thing that I say I want, because the fear that we have of an event, we always bring that event to us. We actually manifest the things we don't want through resistance to them.
So then the next question becomes, how do we not resist them and just barrel through them?
Well, let's get back to this idea, because we were saying, you asked me, so what should we do with these disturbances?
You know, these negative emotions.
Yeah, what should we do with them? And I said, well, you said, should we embrace them? I said, no, we already are. And then I've shown you now we are embracing these things, right?
Right.
Okay, so now what should we do with these disturbances? And the answer is a beautiful answer. We must learn to be observers of them. We must learn what it means to see the disturbance without being the disturbance. Why? What does it mean to see the disturbance without being the disturbance? It means to recognize, and we'll go back to the relationship example, it means that I need to see very clearly that I live with a certain kind of trepidation that a person is going to betray me. Now, it's in me. I've been conditioned. I've been hurt before. It surfaces any time the possibility of a new relationship comes up. In the past, I always identified with that negative state, meaning that I would hold up a secret barrier between you and I, between myself and the person, so that I wouldn't get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that's happening, what is it that is choosing my path in the moment? Is it open intelligence or is it closed fear? The option in the moment when I meet someone, is it being presented to me by my fear or by my fearlessness?
You want me to answer, don't you?
Well, no. All right. Maybe I didn't say it clearly enough because it's very evident, Barry.
Okay.
If I'm afraid someone's going to hurt me, and then I go someplace and I meet someone, and I like them, but then I start to talk to them, and this negativity, this disturbance comes up inside of me, at that moment, what is it that is going to make the choices and determine the path I take? Is it going to be fear, as it's always been? Isn't that what always takes the my path is provided for me through the choices my fear gives me? Yes?
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, can fear ever provide me with a choice that doesn't perpetrate further fear?
No.
Can't.
No.
See, this is part of real knowledge. Once we understand that fear will always choose in favor of the fearful, then we recognize that any time we're afraid and we let ourselves be directed by our fears, meaning we, and this is to the point of the whole last section, here I am, I feel this disturbance come through me, and ordinarily I abandon myself to my fear. Instead of being aware of it, I identify with it. Instead of seeing the fear as being something that compromises me, I unconsciously allow it to choose what I'm going to do. So this new knowledge about ourselves gives us the possibility of a new relationship with these negative states. And the new relationship in this instance is, I'm not going to resist this negative state. I'm not going to push away the fear. I'm not going to let it talk to me and tell me who I am and what to do. I instead am going to become the witness to this negative state instead of embodying its will. Yeah. Now for the first time, because this new knowledge has given me the possibility of having a conscious new relationship with this disturbance, I have the opportunity of making for the first time a new choice, because I have a new relationship with that disturbance that is given to me by my willingness to be conscious and awake in the moment. Are you following me?
Yes. Yes.
Now we're getting to something beautiful, because once I have this new relationship possible, I have a new authority possible. Prior to this, my aching was my authority. My fears told me how to fulfill myself by protecting myself. But now that I can see that fear, anxiety, anger, that these negative states always perpetuate themselves while promising something different than that, now I can suspend my usual action. I am awake to what normally directed me, and I drop that relationship in favor of wanting to be conscious. And now, instead of letting unconscious dynamics direct my day, I am a participant in actually seeing these dynamics unfold in my life and being able to make a proper choice for having become that observer.
So if I was to wrap something up around what you just said, would this be a truth to go from having our unconscious beliefs and emotions control our life to making them conscious? We need to be a more aware observer about how we feel about something.
Yeah. I'll say it even simpler. In any given moment, our principal desire must first be to see the truth of the moment. Then the next desire would be to take whatever we thought was necessary from the moment. Because as we learn to see the truth of ourselves in the moment, we know what not to try and take, we know who not to be, and we know where we ought not go as directed by unconscious parts of ourselves. And to say it even simpler, if I don't make an unhappy beginning, do I have to figure out how to have a happy ending?
No.
Exactly.
No. Wow, that I like. That makes sense. Because I was just, my next question I had on my sheet here, and now I kind of know that what you're going to say to this now. The question was basically going to be, hey, you know, is the only way that we could truly learn, grow, and develop is to fail, make mistakes, and be in these emotional ruts?
Absolutely. Well, not to be in the rut.
But to observe them.
But to see it, exactly. Exactly.
But to observe that we're having the rut, that we're making the mistake, that we're failing in something.
Yeah.
Or we're repeating a struggle, like you mentioned, the relationship, the constant pattern of not opening yourself up because of fear.
Right.
So the only way to learn and grow and develop from those constant patterns of the same relationship is to not keep being in them.
Yeah. It's a mind. It's amazing, isn't it? There it is. But see, without these ideas, you know, I think in the New Testament Christ says something like, I go before you to make the crooked places straight.
Yeah.
Without the light of understanding to go in front of us, we can't see the possibility of living a life like that. But once we realize that the only problems we have are due to our being unaware of things in ourselves that compromise us, then the solution is simple. It isn't to somehow get power, it's to simply wake up and be aware. Because then the issue isn't, how do I overpower what's overpowering me? I just simply stop aligning myself with what is making me weak. I don't need power. Let's for a minute do something fun.
Okay.
Put your right heel on top of your left big toe and push down.
Okay.
Now do it till it's uncomfortable. Okay?
Okay. I can stop that.
No, I want you to keep it there. Because now I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
Is there anything you can buy to get rid of that pain?
I know.
Well, I mean, yes and no. You can go buy some, what do they got? Celebrex or I don't know what they buy anymore.
You can buy
a painkiller.
Yeah, right.
But the pain's still there, isn't it?
I was going to say, what I could do is take my foot, my heel off my toe.
Yeah, see, you're jumping ahead of me. That's exactly right. I don't need authority. I don't need wisdom. I don't need any great guru. I don't need $1 million. I don't need anything. I don't need a power. All I need to do is look down and go, hey, dummy, wake up, man. You're standing on your own toe. That's the whole thing.
Yeah. It goes to something that I guess that you said once in one of your articles, which is 40 ways to determine your level of inner freedom. It was, quote, realize that the world is the way it is because you are the way you are.
Yeah.
And that basically means, here's how I interpret that, basically, you know, to experience more than what we've got or more than what we see, we should become more than we are, basically, is what you're saying.
Right, which we can only do right now.
And a lot of this is so, it's like mind-twisting logic. And that's...
Well, here's an example. We'll take another one, because we want to keep it you know, it has to be somewhat mind, to use your word, mind-bending.
Yeah.
Because if we already understood this, why are we talking?
Yeah, good point.
I mean, that's so silly. Human beings, they don't, here's what we say, I want to have everything, but I really don't want to work for it. I want to make real changes in my life, but I don't want them to be hard. And those are in themselves contradictions.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we already have in our hearts, in our minds, all of this knowledge that we say we do, then there would never be any need for us to have an experience that teaches us we don't.
Mm-hmm.
See? So the experience is never... See, this is part of our problem. We think that negative experiences... Our life, it has something to do with life trying to punish us. Life is not trying to punish us. For that matter, Barry, life is not giving us a series of endless questions by which, you know, the sort of live or die thing, you know, I gotta know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Life isn't giving us questions, it's giving us answers. It is telling us all the time everything that we need to see about ourselves in order to let go of who we have been. We can let go of who we have been any moment we are awake enough to ourselves to realize that this is a new moment, and that what I was, what I knew, what I did, no longer is valid in the present moment. Only a new nature is valid in a new moment. And we are meant to have the best of both of these worlds. Instead, we have virtually none of one and the worst of the other. We don't have a new life because we're all busy trying to make images come true that have to do with things that we've seen in our mind in the past that we hope whose promise will fulfill us. And then when it comes to the new nature itself, most of us don't want things to change. Think about this for a second. Yes or no?
Okay.
Have not the most profound moments in our lives, those that have changed us to make us wiser, kinder, truer men and women, have not those moments come on the heels of a crisis?
Yes.
So with not too much effort, we can see that there is a relationship between those terribly unwanted moments and the eventual birth in us of something that was stronger than the self that faced that moment when it dawned. In other words, I went into this crisis, one order of man, one woman, one level of a woman with a certain understanding, and I exit the crisis a higher order. Which means that the very thing that I resist in life is itself the herald of the higher life that I actually want. If I only understood that.